That is Republic of Loose, of course, the legendary Irish band Republic of Loose. And it is a big week because next week it's the 20th anniversary of their debut album. This is The Tomb of the Juice, and I have a gorgeous double album here in my hand with extended play, four sides, live tracks, bonus, and remastered all the versions of the song. It's a brilliant album, their debut, and loads of great tunes on it, and red vinyl as well, which I have to say I'm a very big fan of. We're very, very lucky as well to have Brez on the line, songwriter and guitarist, of course, and backing vocals with Republic of Loose. How's it going, Brez?
Hey, Kieran, how's it going? Yeah, thanks for having me on.
No, it's a pleasure. So 20 years since your debut. I mean, it must be kind of amazing to be able to look back at this with that kind of distance.
Yeah, it's odd, all right. It is nice, though, especially when you have the vinyl in your hand, you know, and you open it up, there's a gatefold on it, and there's plenty of pictures in the middle, and I'm just looking at them here in front of me, actually, while I'm talking to you, and loads of memories flooding back from the very, very early days when we were with loads of energy and eager to make an impression, you know.
Yeah, 2004. So I think, as far as I remember, the story is that you came together from two different bands or something like that, or you're all mates in the same Rathfarnham area, and you kind of came together to create the band, and you won a battle of the bands, is that right?
Yeah, I don't know about the battle of the bands thing, but no, I knew Mick, and I knew Dave, and I knew Mark, and the band was kind of established before I joined. The band was called Johnny Pyro and the Rock Coma, and I hadn't been in it. A couple of members left, and I got a call, I think it was Christmas 2000 or 2001, I think, I got a call from Dave going, hey, look, our guitar player left, would you be on for, because I'd played a lot of music with Dave, would you be on for jumping on board? So into the new year then, I think it was 2001, we started rehearsals, and I kind of was assimilated into Johnny Pyro and the Rock Coma, so, and a couple of those songs from that era, Free Me, ended up on the album, like Something in the Water, and Black Bread and Dial Jesus. So kind of a coming together of a few different situations.
And was it always the sound that, like, you know, the sound that kind of made you? Because the thing about this album, it's so funny, like, it just came fully formed with the Republic of Loose sound. Was that something you kind of decided to go head first into, or was it something that developed, as you say, over the kind of 3 or 4 years of all of it together?
Yeah, like it kind of developed. Initially, it was like, okay, let's do rehearsal every Tuesday. And we used to rehearse above a Chinese takeaway in Walkinstown every Tuesday evening. And it was like going playing football with your mates or something. It was just like a routine we got into, you know. And then, you know, peppered in between those rehearsals, we'd end up doing a gig here and there. And that period was about a year and a half. So, like, that was the kind of slow forming of the sound, and you know, we were trying loads of different things every Tuesday, you know, like I'd bring in something or Mick would bring in a new tune, and there was all sorts of, there was R&B ballads, and there was all sorts of different styles going on. It was kind of very eclectic. It was all was accepted, you know, it was very open. And I think that eclectic nature of the types of tracks we used to rehearse in those early days kind of, it opened up the canvas for, sorry for all the analogies, but it you know, it opened up the opportunity to do all those later, those different styles later on, you know. So it was kind of like, there was no rules, you know. It was like, if something's sounding good and everyone likes it, let's chuck it in. So as a result, yeah, there's a bit of a spread of styles on the album, you know.
Yeah, but the thing that kind of stands out from listening to it is the confidence, you know, like, loads of the songs are fairly explicit lyrically. Loads of the songs have an absolutely, you do not give a damn about, you know, radio or the established rules. It just feels, it feels exciting. It feels kind of thrilling to hear this, like, a band, because, you know yourself, like, loads of bands just are, you know, being good boys at the start because they want to get some kind of play or whatever else. And this doesn't sound like that at all. It sounds like, this is who we are. And again, that must have been something that you had to lean into.
Yeah, we didn't really feel like we were part of any scene. At the time, the English scene had kind of had a huge influence over a lot of Irish bands, I think. Like, it was that kind of English indie kind of thing was coming off the back of Britpop and all that. We just didn't really feel like we were connected to anything coming out of that scene or that country. And there was nothing really in Dublin that was kind of like, there was no stamp of like, this is what everybody's doing, you know. You know, there was no particular scene apart from like maybe the folkier end of things, you know, coming out of that folkier rock kind of thing from the 90s. But Yeah, we just didn't. There was nothing we were part of. So it was like, let's just, what do we like? You know, if we like James Brown and we like the Rolling Stones and we like Otis Redding and blues music. And it was just, let's just do this. Why not? Like, you know, so, and of course, it was all tied to, like, you know, mix vocal talents and his expression. And, you know, he had a lot of energy to kind of, you know, put on a show. So, like, that, it all followed that, you know, it was all built around that. So, yeah, very much mixed voice and his rambunctious kind of style on stage. So that kind of gave us the confidence to kind of, you know, when you've got a strong front man like that, like, kind of like, you know, like having a strong striker up front, you know, that it kind of elevates the team. And it kind of, like, we were all thriving off mixed confidence on stage. So, yeah, we all kind of leaned into it, you know, probably put on a bit more of a, you know, attitude than we would have done in our, you know, normal daily lives. But that's kind of the way I kind of saw it happening, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I used to go and see you play live. And it's funny, like, so many of these songs I know so well just because of the kind of the live version of the whatever. There's two brilliant live tracks on this as well, on the D side, as well as some demos as well. So it's an expanded vinyl. Like, the album is great listen, and the live thing was where it went on. Do you have any kind of memory of the early kind of this album touring and gigs?
Yeah, it was funny. Like, it was, we used to play, like, small places around Dublin. We used to play in Dorans, you know, and we used to play, you know, various little spots, Voodoo and even up Carnival at the time. They were always like small rooms, like, you know, if there was 70 in, they'd be full. But just from the very, very get-go, like, there used to be we used to get a crazy reaction by the end of the gig, and it was kind of something that you wouldn't kind of see regularly, and it was certainly not something I'd seen from other bands I'd been in. So we kind of figured there was something definitely going on. And then, like, you know, we started booking a few gigs outside of Dublin. Like, and I remember one particular place in Mullingar.
Stables.
Stables, was it?
Yeah.
Stables. I remember, like, playing the Stables, and the place was just going ballistic. I really remember those gigs. And you know, then you do one down in Waterford, and it would be the same. And you kind of, hey, what's going on here? So, yeah, like, got some great memories of all pre the album coming out, and then post the album coming out, certainly Wild Nights. Those gigs are kind of harder to remember than maybe some of the later ones. Cause like, you know, the 20-year mark and the old cognitive impairment is kicking in, but in the middle age. But electric vibes back then, you know, for a lot of those gigs, you know.
Yeah, well, look, I'm going to ask the question, okay, that everyone wants me to ask you. So just, I'll give you a second to get your head around it, but... Is there going to be a gig to celebrate the 20th anniversary of This Is the Tomb of the Juice?
I don't think there's going to be a gig to celebrate this one, but you never know. Like, you know, like, I mean, it's very hard to line everybody at this stage, you know.
Of course.
To, you know, with doing something. We have talked loosely about it, but it hasn't happened at this stage. But I'm still holding hope, you know. I think I'd love to do it. I know most of the lads love to do it. It's just kind of getting everybody aligned and on the right, in the right frame of mind, you know what I mean? But I think it's going to happen. I hope it'll happen, but it won't be for this record, you know.
I think it's going to happen. You heard it here first. good news. Look, the album is great. The remastered version, red vinyl, bonus tracks, absolutely great. It is the Tomb of the Juice 20th Anniversary Edition, and you can get it on their website. It's available only online on a website called Advance UK Shop. So stick that into Google, you'll find it there, and we'll put it up on the link as well. That's coming out on December 13th, so you've got a little bit of time to pre-sale that one. Brez, thank you so much for chatting to us tonight, and enjoy the 20th anniversary.
Thanks, man. Thanks for all your support over the years and for giving me the plug. Thank you so much.
No bother. Let's play one of the standout tracks and one of the standout live tracks as well. Hold Up, Republic of Loose, from the brilliant album This Is the Tomb of the Juice. It's Nova.